Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome back to another episode of Rock That Relationship. We are talking about friendships this season, which is a cool topic because it's something we veered from in terms of talking about mostly romantic relationships up until this point. So this is kind of cool for us to talk about how some of the same principles relate to friendships. So today we're actually going to be talking about managing relationship dynamics, particularly around things related to conflict or when you feel left out, or maybe you're jealous of a friend. Some things that have to do with just how do you manage that? How can you prevent it? And, you know, how can you thrive in your friendships that you have? So Tracy, what are your thoughts as we enter into this topic today?
That I hope you have a lot of wisdom in this matter, since you're a leadership expert. I'm going to just defer to you.
Is that because you have a lot of conflict that you haven't been able to resolve and you have nothing to add, or like?
No, I don't really have, I don't do conflict anymore. I used to do conflict when I was younger. Like I really would just have a lot of conflict around things. It was mostly issues, things that I felt very strongly about with people. So it would interfere with friendships. And now I don't really do that anymore. And also, again, I don't do group dynamics. I don't do stuff like that.
When you say group dynamics, what do you mean?
Like I don't really like groups of friends. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Well, again, my friends don't really know. Yeah, we were in one. And how did that go?
Well, I mean, we're not really in that group anymore.
Exactly. And the drama was something I wasn't interested in. And it always seemed to be drama. It always seemed to be this person didn't like that person. This person was icing this person out. This person was doing that. And I cannot.
Yeah.
Cannot. I can't do it. Not interested.
Okay.
Not worth my time.
Yeah.
Frankly.
No, I agree with you. Drama in general is too much. I'm just like, I want to walk away from it. I have no interest in it. I don't want it. And I know there are people out there like friends that actually create drama on purpose by attention seeking to themselves, or they just, it's like every time there's drama, you look around and it's like the same person or people and you're like, okay, well, what's the common denominator here? And I don't have any interest in that. So I've sort of been, you know, honing my friendship group to people that are drama free as best as they can be, or at least people who don't want drama that aren't creating it on purpose.
Well, we were just watching a bit of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, which I was watching like a year ago, and then I had to turn it off because it was making me ill. And then the same now, I've only managed 1.5 episodes where I'm just like, okay, I know this isn't manufactured because these people are having this drama play out in real life. And it's like, why would you want to be part of that? Is it part to be part of like the cool girl club, or, you know, I don't know if you're aware of these Mormons who are, they don't act anything like Mormons. They have a lot of plastic surgery. They swear a lot. They're sleeping with people. They're drinking a lot of crap, including caffeine. They're doing all this stuff and they're just constantly at each other.
Well, people like that. They like to, they like to sometimes participate in it, but gosh, does the public love to watch it? We love drama.
Well,
you and
TV,
I watch dating
reality
shows, which are not really real. And then we watch, you know, there's like the Real Housewives that are far from real. I mean, all of that stuff, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, who would want to participate in that? What is the worth? So in this latest episode, this latest season, one of them admits that she basically had a full-on breakdown. And it was the pressure of all this stuff that they're doing. And then this like constant pitting of one against the other. I can't even stand. I do like Love is Blind. I like the dynamics. I like to see what happens with these people who, you know, agree to date who have never met each other before. But like, this is like a group of friends who started out as a group of friends. And again, if you look at them from season one to now, it's clearly taking its toll. And I feel like they can't see that because they're so wrapped up in it, you know? It just seems ick. It would exhaust me. I would never engage. I just don't get it. I do not get it. I don't know if it's for the fame and the fortune, you know, to be on the show, but like, How could you ever relax? How could you ever be a relaxed person with constant, it's like constant backstabbing or trying to get the tea on people. And it's like, God, ugh.
I know.
Ick.
But it's not even limited to just TV, although it is. And we like to watch, like we as a society like to watch it. But it's in real life. I mean, you talk about like movies that we talk about, like Mean Girls. There's always been the group of Mean Girls in school and the cliques and the all of that, you know, and it's performative in some ways and it's cult-like in other ways. And we, there's a, you know, a natural human tendency to crave belonging. And so when we have these opportunities to be a part of a group, it satisfies our sense of belonging. But the reality is that a lot of those groups end up making certain people feel like they don't belong as a way of making others feel like they do. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword in that sense.
Yeah. I think that I was talking about that in the car on the way to school this morning, in cults, right? Like the Kool-Aid, drink the Kool-Aid thing. And that people are, I think, largely drawn to feeling that they need to be included in some group. And I moved 18 times before I was 20, so maybe I just don't care. I don't care. I never was anywhere long enough that it mattered to me.
Yeah. But you if know? You are, I mean, the flip side of that is if you are, you grew up in a small town and you're there your whole life, if you don't feel like you found your people, that can be very isolating and very lonely. You don't get a restart or, you know, you're just by yourself.
Yeah, I guess you have to learn how to be by yourself and then to find quality friendships. Because I even saw as an adult, a group of like, oh, let's get together and drink wine kind of ladies, ice out one of their group people. And they admitted it like years later, all of them independently. And I'm like, I can't, so immature, so gross. And they all lived in the same neighborhood.
Right.
Like, oh my God, how old are you people?
I see that happen all the time. Well, like, if you've ever read Mel Robbins and the Let Them Theory, she talks about how like one of the very first things that happened with her was seeing, I think it was seeing a social media post of a bunch of her friends going on a vacation with never mentioned it to her. And then they post about it. And it's like, gosh, not, you can't invite everyone. I get that. But
right.
It does, especially in an age of social media where you can feel really left out by seeing all these people do something that you're not invited to. That can feel really kind of
yeah,
awful.
Or you've been invited and then people stop inviting you. And that's what happened with that group that I was in. And then you kept telling me about it. And it was simply a matter of like, because the group had fractured, it was like certain people were getting messages and certain weren't. And then that's when I just did it. I just am not. It caused me stress. I didn't like it. I was done. Do you remember? I'm like,
oh,
I
remember.
Care.
Yes, know? Because we got into a big tiff about it because
yeah.
I was like, I don't know what you want me to do. If I don't tell you that I got invited to something, then you feel like I'm withholding it. But if I do tell you and find out that you weren't invited, then I was getting kind of the
but
wrath.
The truth was I wasn't invited. I don't know how to say that double negative. I wasn't not invited. It's that the text threads had gotten so fractured because then I just went straight to the source and said, oh, can I come to this party? And they're like, yeah, of course. And that was the thing. But then I didn't want to like, I don't like that. It just, the whole thing was gross. It grossed me out.
Yeah.
Thus, I did not want to be a part of it at all. And I exit. I just keep to myself then or make different friends. That's what I do. Like, I'm not going to be around people who are going to make me feel bad. But I think a lot of people do. I mean, that's the basis of every teen movie, right?
Right, right. But even adults, my gosh, you know, again, the groups, the girls' getaway weekend, and you know, and it's like, well, who got
or
invited
the
and who didn't?
Fancy moms at the school looking yeah. down on the other moms, and you know, then the whole moral of the story is don't look down on that lady in her junky car. Like, there's a reason, there's a backstory, you know, and then they become friends. But like, I do think that's human nature, but it's also just like, it is gross. That book movie, that show, Secret Life of Mormon Wives, because now the husbands have a group too. Ugh. It's just, or they're not, I don't even know if they're husbands or just fathers. They call themselves dad talk because mom talk. And right. I'm like, who is watching this?
You.
Who
you.
Cares? Yeah. Well, that's what I said. We're feeding into this. We're like, we're paying for their nice house by like show, like we're one more viewer, right?
Right.
But I'm watching it in disgust. And then, like, I'm not going to go out and try and be like them, you know?
No. But I mean, so you think about it, like there's a lot of friendship groups that end up being full of drama and backstabbing and, you know, gossips and leaving people out and all those things. But then on the flip side, you know, groups of friends can be really nice if it's a functional, supportive, respectful group of friends. You know, if you have, you know, say there's four of you that live in the neighborhood and you get together on Tuesday nights and, you know, have lemonade on the front porch and you've been doing it for years and it's just like a nice little ritual, and that can be lovely and supportive. It's that when it gets to be filled with drama is when it's, you know, that becomes
time to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always been like a, you know, I have a continual kind of group of friends with, I would call them dotted edged borders, which is like, come in, come out, do whatever you want. Like everybody's invited. And some people will be sort of in the circle for a while and then they will opt out. It's not, I don't usually not opt people in, but,
right.
You know, so much so that most of the things that I even do anymore are posted publicly on like Facebook or Meetup and just saying anybody can come and be a part of this. But
well, you are very inclusive and known as a docent. Like I don't ever want to be responsible for organizing anything. That yeah. Just the thought of it, I can't even.
Yeah. But I mean, I like that because if I don't bring people together, sometimes nobody will, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, almost everybody thinks that I'm the admin of like the meetup group that I post in. And I'm like, I'm not the admin. I'm just a member. And they're like, oh,
you're the only one who posts. Though.
I'm like, yeah, very few people post besides me. So it's like, okay, you know,
it's but, worked out really well for you, right?
Yeah. I've made a lot of really great friends and, you know, but
that's how you have done well making friends. I just could never be an organizer. I would not be able to stand it.
Well, now you're not even a member practically. You don't even come to things.
I know. I probably am not even a member online. And you know, I'm Facebook obsessed. Like that's pretty much the only community I'll be a part of is my Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And they're very helpful, you know. They've been really helpful in helping me with my car troubles and even reaching out privately and whatnot. And so that actually has been really good. Like that's the kind of thing. I write supportive things to them about things I see that are going on. That's the kind of level I want to have.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I said, I don't really need to see people in person anymore, but I don't mind engaging with them, you know, online. Like I know all about this one lady's cats, her life, everything. We've only met once in person. We're in the same vegan community in Tucson, but I'm very invested in what's going on with her.
Okay.
And she's finished. I think she's going to move back to Finland at some point, but her son is American. You know, she's a naturalized American citizen and her son is here. And anyway, she's just sold her house and she's moved all of her cats, which are all rescues because she did, you know, trap and release or trap and catch or whatever. And I don't know how many cats they have, but her house is like the cleanest house you've ever seen. And they probably have 13 cats, but she just moved into his condo, I think, so that make it easier to go back and forth between, you know, here in Finland, and he can take care of the cats easier. And I'm really invested in her story.
Okay.
One cat was really stressed out by the other cat. She thought one cat was bullying the cat, but that cat just wanted to play. And so they used baby gates, just like I have all over my house, and it reduced the stress. And the cat was making biscuits on her bed and just so happy. And she was trying to rehome the cat because she's going to Europe in a few days. Not rehome in a bad way, but with a friend, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because she was so stressed that the cat might be stressed. And simple baby gates, tall baby gates, stopped all that.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
Sounds like you have a new friend and you can follow along and see how this whole thing continues to unfold. It's kind of like your Netflix sort of, but
exactly.
People
it's
online.
All on Facebook, but it's a real person. But you know, that's the other thing is she will say like, she doesn't like to go out a lot, right? But she still wants community. So I find like the vegan community, I find to be very, well, somewhat helpful. And my Facebook community is super helpful, super helpful and supportive. So I enjoy that, you know?
Right. Well, let's go back to this concept of like conflict or something comes up because it can come up online, like in Facebook where people will, you know, go back and forth with each other, particularly around political stuff, but we don't need to get into the political stuff, but just why it's happening. Or in real life, like you're in conflict with someone. What has been your experience when you've been in conflict with a friend? Like, how is that? What are the patterns of things or themes that have created the conflict? And then how have you resolved it?
Well, my best friend, like, we got into it 20 something years ago over abortion. And then we almost were not friends anymore. But
Okay, so and political disagreement.
Yeah, and she's completely changed her mindset. So
you resolved the conflict by her changing her mind, or could you have still stayed?
No, we resolved the conflict by agreeing not to discuss it. And she's very Catholic, or she was at the time very Catholic. And so we didn't discuss it for 15 years, and her views have changed, and she's also no longer Catholic. So I found that very interesting. At that time, I just accepted her. But when we got into a fight, I was like, I'm never going to talk to you again. I don't like your views. They're abhorrent to me. And she's like, we're always going to be friends. And I'm like, your views are gross. And then we stayed friends because I was like, oh, she's a hanger, real hanger on her. And then I just let it go. I was like, okay, well, her view is this because, you know, these are her values. And I just let it go. But I don't make friends knowing that they're have different of opinions, you know?
Right. Okay. So some prevention on the front end to reduce the conflict.
Now, yeah.
But what about other things that don't have to do with like a values clash, like conflict of something else? Like how have you worked through those?
Have I had conflict? I mean, people think I'm annoying, right? Like they think I'm too pushy or opinionated or whatever. So I let them work that out if they want to.
Okay.
They sometimes say rude things. I mean, you know, a couple of my very close friends were quite critical, and two of them I had to talk to and say, stop being so critical. One I'm not even talking to now because of that, you know, too critical and dynamics I didn't like.
Okay.
So some I've just, no, I'm not going to do this, or, hey, would you not do this? You know, it's really upsetting to me.
Okay.
So. And if you say that, if you say it, just like we've talked about with relationships, you know, and so many things, like, are you willing to listen to me or can you hear what I have to say, you know?
Okay, so your strategies are really either agree to disagree, you talk to them about the situation, or in some cases you just aren't friends with them anymore, you just kind of let it go.
That pretty much covers all of the bases, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what
I mean. Yeah, I feel like you've done the same thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of along the same lines as well. I used to be more of a fourth category, which is called hope it goes away, whatever the conflict is. And that's a horrible strategy, right? Like you're in conflict and you just sort of hope that whatever it is just sort of resolves itself. And I'll tell you, you know, the whole being zen and go with the flow and all that stuff, it doesn't work real well with conflict resolution, because if you don't address something, it will come back. So, hope is not really a strategy for conflict.
Is it hope or is it avoidance of the issue? Like, are you avoiding the issue? Like, if they were to come talk to you, would you be avoidant or are you just...
If they came and talked to me, I would talk to them. But say something came up and somebody did something or said something that hurt me and I feel weird around them. Do I let it go or do I just, like, I hope that they don't say something like this again. I hope that was a one-time thing. So it's kind of a little bit more of hope. I don't avoid it. It's just sometimes I think, like, is this a big enough deal to bring up? And then maybe I'll just hope that they don't do it again. And they always do whatever it is again. It never goes away. Or they don't, but I can't let it go. And then I'm weird. So I don't do that as much anymore. I either really truly let something go, or I say something, because I don't want to, or if it's just so much and it's too much, I've walked away. And I don't typically walk away from friendships, but I've walked away from a bunch of them in the last year just because some of it wasn't even worth talking to. It was like, I'm not going to talk. I don't even want this. I don't want this.
Well, you had tried in some situations.
Yeah.
And it's when the other person can't hear you.
Right.
When you're not on the same page as far as what you're even talking about, that's when it's not worth having the conflict or repeated conflict or hanging out with someone that's going to keep happening, you know?
Right. Well, there are two people that I talked to, and then not only did they not hear me, they actively sort of made fun of it. and came at me even further. Yeah. And I was like, what are you doing? This is malicious. It wasn't even like, oh, I'm sorry, I hurt your feelings, or I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, it was like, oh, well, I'm going to just double down on this. I was like, ooh, I don't want that.
And didn't you find that peculiar for people over 50? I found it very odd.
Yeah, I did. People who were supposedly good friends too. It was like,
I know.
That's not cool. I don't know. And so now I'm just like,
I see that happening to you, and then I'm not going to put myself in that position. So I am a person like, if they're doing it to somebody else, they're going to do it to you eventually. So like, I'm not wasting my time. Bye.
That reminds me of the same kind of thing. Like, you know, if you have an affair with someone, like say you're single and you have an affair with somebody who's in a couple or they're married, like to think that that person might not cheat on you later is just
shouldn't they think the same about you too? That, you know,
yeah, that I might do the same thing. But the idea is like what you're talking about with friendship is like you see a friend be a bad friend to me and you're like, well, that's fine. They're a good friend to me.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't know. They've got the capacity to do that kind of awful thing.
Well, so your analogy would be then somebody having an affair, you watching them be a cheater, and then you hook up with them later and then you expect them not to be a cheater.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's why I think if I'm going to watch you be terrible to a friend, I'm not putting my, I'm out.
Right.
Yeah. Out, done, goodbye. Not doing it. Don't care. Not worth it.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, so that's kind of what I've been doing lately is I've been doing some prevention stuff where I'm like only reaching out to people that I, you know, have a potential to have a drama-free connection with, but then I'm, you know, so I'm not. And I also have really let go of this idea of history with friends. Like just because you were friends before doesn't mean you're friends. You need to stay friends for the rest of your life.
Right. What about people who just ghost, who you're good friends with?
I know.
Like, would you give that person a chance in the future?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I had one of my best friends ghost me after years, almost a decade.
Yeah.
And then,
two.
I've had two.
Yeah, you had two ghost you, or like, yes, dump you, like, and then one act like normal in public, which is weird, and then the other one just gone.
I'm like, is she alive or? Yeah, right. I'm thinking of the one who just disappeared, totally disappeared. I was like, what just happened?
Would you go to their house? I mean, you never went to her house. You never went and said something. Like, is the age of confrontation over? Like,
yeah.
In the olden days, you would have gone and been like, what's happening?
Right. You would have gone and tried to see if there was a body on the floor.
Did you check the death notices?
No, but I did Google her, and she's still on the staff roster of her employment. Oh, so she's alive. Yeah, and so I was like, not my problem. But yeah, I mean, the whole thing was very strange. It was just like, she's just stopped responding to me, and we were in the middle of making plans and we hung out quite a bit. And I was like, okay. So, I mean, at this point I'm not chasing. Like, if you're ghosting me, you obviously have some kind of issue with me. You're also obviously not willing to talk to me about it. So do I really want to go down this road? No, I don't. But
well,
I think
so it may not even be an issue with you. It's just an issue. They're having some kind of issue. And I do think that people, when they have bad things going on in their life, domestic violence, stuff like that, they don't want people to know about it. They recede into the ether, you know?
Yeah.
And is it ether? Yeah. Or the somewhere?
Somewhere. Yeah, they go.
They go somewhere.
And they hide, and then it becomes too long, and they haven't talked to you in a long time, and now they can't reach
out.
Or
their situation is worse.
Right, it could be that.
But it's hard, because if you really try to push people, you know, that doesn't help either. You know what I mean?
Right, and why are you chasing people? If someone doesn't, like for me, I reached out, and then after a few months, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, this person obviously doesn't want to talk to me. And, you know, so it's like, okay, well, I didn't even know if we were in conflict, because I didn't think we were in conflict. All of a sudden, we're just not friends. So, like, I missed something. Am I being punished or penalized for something I did that I don't even know what I did? Like, just tell me.
Yeah, well, I had a friend do that to me a long time ago, and then became friends with an ex. And then I told the ex, watch out, this is what she did to me. And then she didn't believe me that would happen. And then she did the same thing, ghosting as a friend.
And then we were just talking about that. Like, she keeps ghosting people, or she keeps having, she did to her wife of like 17 years was like, I can't process this thing that happened 30 years ago. I got a divorce, and then just ghosted. Like, it's her pattern. But then other friends are like apparently acting like it didn't happen and hanging out with her.
See, that's
but I was again. Saying that.
You're,
well, yeah,
like you expect it not to happen to you, but like that person's done it to a bunch of people. So,
well, so they can't come a crying later, you know. But that was also that was a group of people too. Those that was Seattle people. That I just am like not worth my time.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna like cry over that spilled milk. And that's the thing. I think, I guess, as I'm just getting older, like I'm just not. I mean, I have freaked out about stuff in the past. I just don't, I don't want to anymore. I'm becoming worn down by this life, you know, like where it's just not, it's not worth it. And it's just not worth it to like try and like keep things together that just aren't, I don't know, that are crappy.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, like holding on to things just because you feel compelled to or you feel responsible for, or like, again, you have a history and it's like you're just grabbing onto this. It's like, don't you remember when 2 years ago we used to all go to lunch together and then half the people hate each other now? And it's like, come on, everybody, let's go to lunch. We used to do this. It was so great. And it's like things change. And that's the problem or the difficulty with groups is that one person changes even a little bit, the whole group sort of calibrates, right?
Right. Or there's a ringleader.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. And, or there's an issue. This is something, and I remember you were part of this as well. And I was part of this, but there's an issue in the friendship group that has absolutely nothing to do with you. And people go at each other about something. And next thing you know, everybody's taking sides and there's all sorts of things happening. And you're like, what just happened? Like, I'm not even part of this.
Or
and,
people trying to draw you into it.
Right. And I was like, I don't know what's happening here. I don't, you know, and so that's difficult. And so now, I mean, I'm sure our listeners are like, yeah, I know friend groups suck, but no, that's not like what I'm saying. Friend groups are great, but you do have to have some prevention on the front end and you do have to, you know, figure out, is it worth working through conflict or is it worth just saying like, I'm not, I'm walking away from this or I'm going to do something different because it's not
right.
Easy, you know?
Well, it worked for me to just walk away.
Yeah. I mean, I've ended
not
up with
be involved.
Different friends, you know, I mean, I have some of the same friends, but just, you know, kind of pulling people in and out and I, you know, I'll host group things and, you know, but I don't want to be any part of the drama. It was interesting. I posted a meetup, oh gosh, a couple weeks ago, it was a meetup, but it wasn't even just one person. Actually, there were two sets of people that were like, oh my gosh, you know, there's who's going to be there and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want
asking you.
Yeah. I was like, okay, well they said they were going to be there, but I don't want to be there if they're going to be there. And then, no. And it was, actually, it wasn't even.
How'd you respond to it?
I was like, well, I mean, it's your choice. You can be wherever you want to be. This person has the right to be there too. And,
like, it's not your job to tell them.
No, but it's interesting because it's like in this, like, particularly in a lesbian community, there's only so many social events. And so exes are going to run into each other. I mean, I've run into my most recent ex at not a number of things. And we just both go, like, it's just, it is what it is. But, you know, some people don't have that ability because maybe that breakup was much more horrendous and they're scared of their ex and they don't want to be somewhere where they are. So that's difficult. But I was like, as the organizer, I was constantly watching like who's RSVPing, who canceled, who did this, and is this person going? And I don't know if this person can go. And it was like, there was just a lot going on. And so like, just come. You don't have to be friends with people.
Exhausting. But also if you're freaked out about going out in public or you're worried about running into this person or that person, that's kind of like you have to just face it at some point or just be holed up in your house. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
or
it's
just
hard.
Decide you're not going to go. I would never like send a message to an organizer and be like, well, is this person going to be there? Cause I don't know. I'm not going to come if they are.
Yeah. I mean, in their defense, they were all like friends of mine. And so There were actually, now that I think about it, there were three situations that were like, is this person going to be there? And I don't think I can come if they don't on RSVP and blah, blah, blah. And so, and again, I get it. Like there's no harm, no foul in these people needing that because of the insular lesbian community that we have. But it just goes to show that there's drama, even if you don't, like you're not inviting it. Like you're just right. Like, it's just there. And, you know, and so it's like constantly working around that drama. And I don't want any of that drama. So like, you know, I only have one ex that lives in town, which is kind of nice. And right. We have relatively different interests. So we run into each other at some things, but not a lot. And we don't run with the same people. So it kind of worked out well. But I think about those couples that break up and they both have like a lot of the same friends and they're in the same groups. And next thing you know, who's the group aligning with? And there's a lot.
Right.
You add that layer on.
Well, and friends who are no longer friends, same situation.
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And that's been a situation, you know, I've experienced, other people have experienced too, where they've had a friendship fallout and they're like, ugh.
But I would just check the website. I wouldn't like reach out and say to the host, is this person coming? Because if so, I'm not coming. It seems very immature.
Yeah.
I might say it. I might look it for myself, but then I wouldn't make a big production out of it. I just wouldn't go.
Yeah.
If I was that worried about it, I just wouldn't go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you got to choose your own adventure. I mean, I have no interest in having any drama in any of the events that I plan. So if people do come and they have some kind of a history with each other, that's not positive or unresolved stuff, it's not in anybody's best interest for that to come up during the event.
Yes. Hopefully they can be mature.
Right. Right. So, I mean, groups do bring in a lot of weird stuff. And so, I mean, you just have to have, you know, some thick skin, some protocols that you deal with or like, you know, like walk away or, you know, I've had some meetup events and then sometimes I turn around and I have like a private like event or something where I'll just invite some closer knit friends to something. Like I have potlucks and things a lot, but, you know, where I know that there's not going to be like drama per se. And so, it's interesting. What about like individual friends? Like, I mean, the group thing is so interesting, but like the individual friends, like when you and I, for instance, have been in conflict, which actually in terms of like actual deep, real conflict, we've only had a few. We bicker
three or
about,
four.
Yeah. Bicker about like little things here and there. And then we, you know, 2 seconds later, we're talking about something else, but we probably only had a few. One of them was the thing about the, you know, the text thread and getting invited to things and not getting invited. I remember that one too. But we've had a couple of doozies.
What else? What about the podcast?
We had
years ago.
We had one years ago about a friend that, that I had made that you had decided that you would like to be friends with her and not have her be friends with me anymore.
That was past life stuff. And I was not aware that's why that was happening. But we did go to a psychic. Who told us that?
It was my Akashic
reader. Yours person. Yeah. Akashic. So,
but
I wouldn't consider that conflict. I mean, that we talked about it, but that was stuff happening that we weren't even aware of on this level.
I know. But on the earthly level, it created conflict for us.
Right.
You were behaving in ways that were super irrational and out of the norm for you, which we've then been able to explain by past life stuff later on. But at the time, I was like, you've lost your mind.
Yeah, and I didn't even know why I was doing it. I just had a feeling that I had to do it. Well, we can tell people now that it was because this person had murdered me in a past life. And you were my mother and you died of a broken heart. So we didn't know any of that at the time, but the way I was acting was so weird.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying anything you didn't agree with. You're like, I don't know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But
that was good that we're into getting our past life stuff read and all that, because I had no explanation for that. It wasn't like some kind of thing where I was like, oh, I want to get, I don't care how many friends you have. I don't give a crap. You're friends with people I knew before you knew them. I don't care. I could care less. I'm not that person. This was a past life thing that I knew on one level that I was not cognizant of as the person I am right now. Yeah. And so I acted on that, and it was very out of character for me.
Yeah, it was. And yes, you blocked me from a new friend. And I was like, what are you doing? And then, I mean, we talked through it and we were able to come to somewhat of a result.
Well, I didn't
block
you completely, as we know now.
Well, fate has its way of circling back around. Yes.
We figured that out. Like, hey, that would happen pretty quick, I feel like.
What happened pretty quick?
Like revealing the message that I had sent on Messenger. I think I told you that right away. Like, I had a compulsion to do it and then to tell you. Like, it wasn't like you found out a year later. Like,
a compulsion to...
to tell you that I sent that message saying that you weren't interested in communicating with her on Messenger or hiking or, early.
Right. And I was like, but that's
and
what
then
we've
you
done.
Felt like she was going to get me killed. And I felt like she was bad for you.
Well, I thought you were going to get yourself killed because, I mean, well, you two were doing these crazy hikes and stuff. And it was like, oh my God, I was really worried. I was like, it's like 3 in the morning.
I know, but that, you see, that's like, that is past life stuff.
Yeah. But it was interesting.
Everything that happened was so weird. So I don't really consider that a conflict between us because I think that the past, like the, and it all had to be resolved for the reason, you know, to so that things could be the way they are now. So I don't really feel like that was a conflict. I do feel like that we had a big fight about the podcast. Somebody else was with us and kind of instigated an argument. And then it became like very upsetting to you.
Yeah, I was crying at your kitchen table. I remember that. And so, and that was,
and
we almost didn't do the podcast.
Almost didn't come to be. Yeah. I don't even remember what it was about. And it was an argument maybe about like, what was our goal? Who were we like appealing to? And I also think that that person who you're good friends with and I'm friends with did it not knowing, just intuitively that we needed to like that had to come out.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Because it wasn't malicious. The conversation wasn't malicious. It just happened like that. And then.
Right.
Yeah, because I do remember we talked about...
It's very instigating, though.
I know. It was a question about whether or not we had the expertise to be giving relationship advice. And
when who were we appealing to, I thought, or something like that.
And who were we appealing to? Because if we were appealing to just everyday people talking about us and our everyday experiences, that would be okay. But if we came off like we were experts or something and we were appealing to like a broader audience of the self-help community, then we weren't... That wasn't going to work and we'd feel like kind of... I don't know, maybe misleading, although come, you know, here we are. And we both are in many ways relationship experts. We're both life coaches and relationships. I'm a PhD professor who teaches emotional intelligence. You're, you know, a former family law attorney. We're not so disconnected from this content, but we were underestimating ourselves then and stuff. But I do remember that. And it was a big conflict. And, you know, a lot of times we just have to talk it out. And we do. And we usually find that we have common ground somewhere or that there was like an intention that was sort of misrepresented or whatever. And, you know, that's where we've gone. Those are the only three I remember, that the text thread one, that one, and the diverting are my.
Well, there were two hikes where we argued like so serious arguments. And I think it was the exact same subject matter. One was on Mount Wrightson and one was on Watson Peak.
Oh, we argued about the podcast?
No, we argued about political things. Like,
oh,
we're on the same political page, but like policy, like,
oh yeah, getting
so very, but it was a, yeah, but it was like an argument. Like I get riled up. My blue collar self gets very riled up.
I know. We've had a few of those. Those to me weren't as like interpersonal. Maybe I disconnected them because of the content. That they felt like more like policies we disagreed on, whereas the other ones felt more like conflict between you and I interpersonally, and that was unresolved for me.
Oh, we've had like another one or two just about probably like maybe conflict. I mean, a bunch of stuff that we talk about could be considered conflict. But we resolve it well, I think, or we talk about it. We talk through it. I think a lot of other people would be too uncomfortable to have the conversations that we have. Yes. Don't you?
Yeah, I do. And I think, you know, we're both really honest with each other, and we have these, we both, the one thing at the end of the day is we both really look out for each other's best interests. And so I feel like that's a real key to conflict management is, if you really care about the other person and the other person's experience, and you're not coming at it from like a win-lose orientation, then you can probably resolve the conflict. So a lot of times it's just trying to figure out what's the best path forward so we both can feel like, you know, we're heard and we're resolved. And I think that's been key to moving forward, because at the, like that first conflict we talked about where you were sort of diverting one of my new friends away from me, you know, didn't know quite so much at the time, but a little bit, was that you felt like you were doing it out of my best interests.
Right.
And while that, you know, there's a lot more to it than that, it wasn't coming from a malicious place of trying to hurt me. It was coming from a place of trying to protect me. So,
but it seemed crazy.
It did seem crazy.
Designed to like,
it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I never get to hang out with my new friend because you stole her and now you're hiking in the middle of the night. And you know, and so.
Well, then you thought I was going to die.
I did. I was worried you were going to fall off a mountain. It is some of the crazy stuff. But anyway, so this is conflict. So I think, you know, as we, you know, bore our listeners to death with the handful of conflicts we've had, at the same time, I think what's interesting is to notice the patterns among them is that, A, we have each other's best interests at heart. B, we're not afraid to talk about it and be totally honest about things. And that's really, really critical. And I think C is that we work until we find a resolution. And I think that's been really important too, is we always end up finding a resolution. And you know, what's been cool is that some of the conflict we've had, we've ended up finding a resolution that was better than either of our points when we were arguing each other about something. We find like this third solution to something where we really, really kind of like, it was not necessarily like excellent that we had an interpersonal conflict, but like the pro of having conflict is sometimes you get new ideas and new perspectives. And so,
well, I think that that point then is, people shouldn't fear conflict so much. Like, I don't fear conflict. Do you?
No. Because I think, I mean, when you have like people just being mean to each other, like we talked about in the group stuff, I don't like that. But the conflict where you have a disagreement on an opinion or a disagreement on something and you talk through it, you usually learn about yourself and the other person. And then you can sometimes come to a resolve that's better than the one you had before.
Well, so no, I would think then the thing is not to shy away from conflict for the sake of conflict. Like, don't shy away from conflict. Conflict can be good. And conflict doesn't always have to be like volatile, you know?
No.
But people are often afraid to say what they think, or they're afraid to tell people. Like, and we had a discussion the other day and I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Just say what you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, it was
say what you want to do.
It's a good discussion. It ended up being like a 2-part discussion,
right,
about what we both wanted moving forward in terms of like our continued collaboration on things. And it was good and it was honest. And but yeah, if you don't say what you're thinking, like in my case, and I hope that my thoughts go away or my feelings go away or that whatever someone else is doing, they stop. It doesn't really work because it doesn't go away. And it just becomes heavier. And this is why people end up laundry listing people, because they're like, oh, it's not a big deal that they left something, you know, dishes in the sink one time. And then like this happens again. And it's like, not a big deal. We were running late. Not a big deal. That person was at work all day. Not a big deal. And then like a spoon is in the dish, you know, in the sink, and the person loses their
freaks
marbles
out
about it. It's like, oh my gosh, you've been leaving dishes in the sink for 6 months. And so, you know, the propensity to build up is so great that you end up creating way, way more conflict than you needed to create.
I agree.
So laundry listing, not good.
Kitchen sinking, they call it.
Kitchen sinking?
Everything in the kitchen sink. You throw everything in the kitchen sink at them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the irony of the example of the dishes in the sink, right? So just, you know, not avoiding, not hoping that it goes away, but being honest. And, you know, we could go through all the things that, you know, are important in conflict, using I statements and paraphrasing what you hear and all that stuff. But, you know, I also think that asking questions is a really good thing, when you ask people questions, but not in like a passive aggressive way, like, oh, were you too busy to do the laundry today? Or were you too, you know, too tired from your really hard job to put your dishes in the dishwasher? No, but more like, you know, how are things going? Are you feeling a little stressed And they'll say, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And you say, oh, well, because I've noticed that you've been leaving dishes in the sink more often. And I just feel like that's not your character. And I'm wondering if everything's okay. And you come from like a caretaking perspective or like a care, they call it carefrontation and not confrontation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like you care about what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're
that would be if their behavior changed. I mean, I think there's a lot of roommate and also dating. That's what I try to teach those boys. Like, a lot of women are unhappy when the men are not taking care of what they're supposed to take care of in the house. And then the woman is doing everything. Right. And so I think it's the same with roommates. Like I wouldn't want to have a roommate. I had roommates who didn't wash their dishes in college. Disgusting.
Ew.
And then we had a roach in our apartment. I almost freaked out and I didn't grow up that way. And ugh, I was like, this is gross. Like what? And then like, I don't know if I ever live with people after that. And you know, I've only randomly had roommates as an adult.
Yes, I do.
Very short-lived ones. And they not short-lived because of conflict, but just they were travelers on their way to somewhere else, you know, but they were here for a couple months, like 7 months or something. But you know, you have to have rules, just like in relationships, you know, romantic relationships, you have to have the same as friendship rules, you know.
Yeah, you do have to have some friendship rules or boundaries or whatever you might.
Well, and you have to understand people are not raised the same way you are, you know, like people are not all raised the same. And so I think that's what people find out when they get out of college or they get into college and they start having roommates and stuff like that is, I mean, that was eye opening for me is people are not raised in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to do things the way you do it, you know?
Right. And they're not going to have the same beliefs and values and experiences and perspectives. And
yeah, but if you're going to live with them, you have to train them your way.
But then what if they're training you their way? And next thing you
know, well, if it works, if it's better.
Yeah. I mean, you take the best of, right?
Like right.
The greatest hits moments of living together as roommates, you know, or even, even like road tripping with a friend, I think about that. Like that is just prone for conflict, right? You're stuck in like a car with someone for an extended period of time. You have no break from them. One person's probably doing most of the driving. Then you get to wherever you're going and you likely, if you road trip, like most people, not like you, but most people, you're sharing a room. You have no privacy. Mm-hmm. You're sort of like inundated with this person 24/7. And it's hard.
Road trip a year ago, you know, to Los Angeles. That was 7.5 hours or plus driving. And we did have conflict, actually, because you expected me to be off my phone and I did not expect me to be off my phone. We did do some work while we were in the car, but and we did share a room, by the way, at a hostel in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Which I thought it was cute. The breakfast was disgusting. But,
We couldn't even eat there, but
right. Yeah, but it was a cute little place.
It was the first time I'd ever traveled with you. We were supposed to go to Machu Picchu and travel together and share a tent and we didn't do that. But, so some people can like travel really well together. I have the friend that, you know, we had that conversation about the podcast with that sort of instigated things, but you know, again, not maliciously. I've traveled with her a bunch of times and we travel so well together. Like I don't ever get overwhelmed with hanging out with her all the time. I room with her, like, but we also are really good because we've established some rules about like when we get up, we got up at different times. We did things at different times, but we agreed to like meet for breakfast at a certain time. And I could get up and take my walk and she went up and would get up and do other things. And so, we set those not really rules, but like just kind of how we were going to interact with each other. And it worked out really, really well because it wasn't like one friend was like, I was expecting to spend the whole time with you. And the other one was like, oh, I need my space. It was like, we just floated.
Oh, but that's happened to you before.
That's happened to me before.
Bad road trips, bad trips.
Yeah.
People.
I've had some bad.
Then you can't get out of it. That's why I don't do it. Yeah.
One bad road trip, but
I don't do it unless I'm in a relationship. I'm not. No, I'm not going to. Like, yuck.
I mean, there are certain people that I travel really well with. There's a handful that I've traveled with before. I enjoy traveling with. I'm really good about it. And then there's other people that I just sort of can like. I can tell. I'm like, I don't know that we're going to travel really well together. Interestingly, because I am way less type A than. When I'm traveling, then the people I've had conflict with, it's strangely enough, I'm almost always like the most type A person in the room. And when I travel, I've been with people who have a lot more rules and expectations and all sorts of things that, and so that's what bothers me. I like it when people are more fluid and I don't know. But not so fluid that they're like not getting up in the morning so we can drive back or whatever. Right. Like not that, but just like more cool with just like, okay, whatever. Cool. What time do you want to use the bathroom? All right. You want to go first or second? All right. Cool.
Well, see, I can't even have that conversation. Like that conversation would put me over the edge. Like I don't want to have that conversation with someone.
Like about
that
bathroom order? Why? No, because you want to have your own bathroom.
Yes. Ugh, the fact that you even just said that gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
It made me sick. It made my skin crawl.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, okay. It did. Yeah.
Ugh. Well, then that would obviously
have to shake it off. Conflict. Yeah, yes. Obviously.
I know it would create a conflict. For me, it doesn't. I'm just like, whoever, whatever, just go.
Oh my God, I told you in Thailand, I've like begged and begged. And I mean, I did have a legitimate reason to need my own room because I did work at night. But the thought of sharing a room with someone, oh my God, it filled me with like, I was dread and I was begged. I begged, please let me have my own room. And I mean, yeah, it was partially for work, but mostly it was, I mean, I'm even like having to share bathrooms with people. Like I think of going back to work in an office and I'm like, oh, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, you and I are really different. I'm like, I could share with whoever. Yeah. I don't care. No. I don't give two bones about it, but. Yeah.
Ugh,
but I like to be pretty clear about what the use of that is. Like, okay, so, you know, usually it'll be like, all right, well, if you're going to use the bathroom, I'm going to use the bathroom first. What time are you getting up? 7? Okay, I'll get up at 6:30 so I can be out of the bathroom. And
like, you actually talk about that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh my God.
Everybody I've traveled with, either they bring it up or I do. It's not like an unheard of thing.
Well, who's going to dictate that?
Just because if you both want to use the bathroom at the same time, it makes it hard.
How would you know want to use the bathroom the night before?
No, like if you're going to get up and like get ready and you're going to shower and you're going to brush your teeth.
Okay. I've heard enough. I've got to end this conversation.
Oh my God.
I've heard enough. I'm like so grossed out right now. I can't even handle it. I do not want to talk to other people about what time they're going to shower. I can't handle it. Like get your own. I can't.
Get your own shower. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
traveling is expensive. It's like,
I'd rather not travel than share with somebody.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sickened now. I can't handle it. But it's funny because when you didn't go to Machu Picchu, I shared a tent with that Scottish girl. She was like in her 20s. And then there was gay guys in the tent right next to us. And I was watching my show. I forget what it was, some legal show. There's Drop Dead Diva or something hilarious, something so ridiculous, and they could hear it in the other tent. They would like imitate the lines, you know, from it.
Oh my
gosh.
Now
that was funny. And of course, it was group hiking, but we did have to, you know, use communal bathrooms. It was so disgusting. I mean, disgusting. I'm talking disgusting. That was filthy because all those people on the trail, the Inca Trail. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. And I did it to Everest, you know, but when I worked on Everest, I have my own. I always got my own room at wherever guest house we stayed at because I was with like the Sherpa boys, you know.
Yeah,
and we couldn't. They would obviously not be sharing a room with me.
Right, right.
But in base camp, I had my own tent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, I guess.
I
mean, I don't really want to share a tent with someone I don't know, but I mean, I would.
It wasn't bad though on the Inca Trail. I have to say that didn't bug me, but I don't know, something about being in a hotel. I did share a room with that British girl though when you didn't come to Peru. She and I were in separate rooms, and then we decided to share a room because it was a guest house. But I did have communal bathrooms, and I'm never, never, never doing that again unless I'm in a concentration camp. Like, I'm not doing that again. No. Ugh. At least at the Elephant Nature Park, I get my own bathroom in my own room. Yeah. I'll pay extra.
Okay.
Like, we can hang out together during the day or sit by the river and go to eat together. But get out of my room. Gross. Ugh.
Oh,
I can't even talk about it. I'm so sick of it right now.
You're so funny. You keep saying you don't want to talk about it, and then you keep talking about it.
Because it's like a nightmarish situation. Yes.
So Well, and then if you're in a situation where you don't share a room with someone, then you're not having conflict with them. Whereas if you're in a room, you could have conflict. I've only had conflict with one person, like I said, that I've been on a trip with, and that was really awkward and weird and uncomfortable. But everybody else I've traveled with, I've traveled really well. We've had fun. We haven't had any conflict. We've negotiated boundaries. I've several people who I've traveled with, I've traveled again and again and again with. So if they didn't want to travel with me, they wouldn't like either invite me or agree.
I know you've told me about these trips, and I think it's unique that you people can do that together. But like when you tell me these stories, I just get like my skin just crawls.
Yeah.
And remember that time we went to the Grand Canyon and I was like, I'm sleeping in my car, but then I slept in the room and you guys were mad at me on both ends. That I had the one bed. You and the other friend were in the one bed, and then I had my bed. And then when we got to the other side of the, which that lodge has since burned down, unfortunately, and so sadly, what was it? The Northern Lodge or whatever.
It was the North Rim Lodge. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were in a cabin.
Yeah.
And you guys got the bunk beds and you were mad at me, but I didn't even know that was I mean, that's how it would have, I would have been happy to take one of the bunk beds, but you guys were so chummy.
No, you had gotten there an hour and a half before we did. And you had already climbed into that bed and taken like a nap and already claimed that. And it was a separate room and it was a queen bed. And you left our 6 foot tall friend and me with a knee injury with the bunk beds while you laid in the room by yourself.
No, I also got there early enough to get our shower fixed.
Well, I appreciate
that. You guys arrived and the shower was fixed, because had I not arrived, our shower wouldn't have been fixed.
Well, I
made a beautiful dinner, even though the food was awful, in that beautiful lodge.
Yes, we did. All those things are excellent. And you took the queen bed before we got there, just so we're clear.
Okay, if you guys had said, we'll take the queen bed. I mean, I would have gladly taken the top bunk. I didn't really care.
Uh-huh. I couldn't even walk. I could not even walk.
You walked 20 some miles the next day.
I know, but I was in so much pain. You remember me dragging my leg behind me? If for listeners who are curious about that whole story, it's in one of the last chapters of The Soulmate Strategy, my book, where I talk about how painful my leg was. Mm-hmm. And actually, I do describe the situation where I was relegated to the bunk bed and Tracy got to spread out on the queen.
Get that book.
Get the book just for that chapter, just so you can see what really happened.
I've never shared a bed with some, though. No way.
We have to share a bed. It was just, we should have drawn straws or something.
Yes, that's what we should have done. And someone could have laid in the bed. If I had laid on or napped on, I was clean because I'd taken a shower.
Yeah, but I mean, all your stuff was spread out all over that room. It was like you had peed on your fire hydrant there. So we weren't about to take that
room. Well, that's the perception. All right. Well,
yeah. Well, now we know. And if we're probably never going to do that hike again together, the three of us. So we'll just chalk that up.
Well, and certainly not to the Northern Lodge. It doesn't exist.
It's not there anymore. So we won't.
Tragedy.
So the bottom line is the way that you avoid, not avoid in a bad way, but just prevent conflict, is that you don't put yourself in situations like groups or rooming with people or road tripping with people, because those are places where conflict can occur. You don't even put yourself in those situations. But then when you are in a situation of conflict, you can agree to disagree, talk it out, or sometimes just walk away from the person and say, I'm done with this. Okay.
Yeah.
And for me, I put myself in all sorts of group situations and all sorts of cohabitating and traveling situations with other people. I don't typically have a lot of conflict with my friends. It's mostly like what you're talking about, is when I'm in a group and the group dynamic changes. And it's usually not, I'm not even usually part of it. It's usually something that happens around me and then all of a sudden things implode. I've had a few conflicts with friends, and those friendships weren't really healthy and they've ended up being, terminated. And we'll talk about that in another episode. But I don't typically have a lot of conflicts with my friends. But I'm in a different, I'm constantly around people and I love having people in my home and all things different than you, but I'm not afraid of talking about conflict either. And I'm also now not afraid of walking away from things that don't serve me.
Good. See, evolution.
Boom. Exactly. So, well, our listeners, I have no idea what you got out of this episode. Absolutely none. But you did get to hear about a laundry list of the what turned into probably seven conflicts that Tracy and I have had over the years about how she absolutely will not ever share a bathroom with someone because it is the most disgusting, horrible thing that you can do. And you
know, it's not even sharing the bathroom. It's not that one person can use the bathroom at one time, then another person can use it. It's that like you're in a room where there's a bathroom in there, like, and you like,
I know.
Gross.
It is too much. But for me, how I'm fine with like those kind of things. I don't care. I negotiate all that kind of stuff. I don't really have conflict around it. So we've covered a lot of ground. But at the end of the day, I think what's really important to take away from this conflict thing is that conflict happens. You can try to get yourself in situations where it's less likely to happen if you feel like that's a better route to do. But it's going to ultimately happen, whether it's in a group or with one other friend. And you have to decide how you're going to handle it, right? And avoiding it or doing what I did was hoping that it would go away is not really a good strategy. It's, you know, talking through it or if it's really, really bad and it's totally unhealthy and talking isn't going to do anything or you don't want to preserve the friendship, then walk away and be done.
Right.
Really.
And if there's no repair, right?
Yeah.
If people aren't willing to repair.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And you have to decide how many chances are you going to give someone, right? Like if you had the same conflict, it keeps, you know, rearing its head 10 times over. It's like, you know what? I'm not interested in this.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, thank you for an engaging, enlightening conversation. And to all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.